Welcome to this Control Risks podcast. The Council of the European Union President Donald Tusk on the 2nd of February published his draft response to the four key points of the renegotiation of the UK's terms of membership of the EU, outlined by Prime Minister David Cameron in November 2015. The draft goes some way towards satisfying Cameron's demands, but falls some way short of complying totally with them. Further negotiation is now likely ahead of a meeting of the European Council, the heads of national governments, on the 18th and 19th of February. With me to discuss the road ahead is Control Risks senior Europe analyst David Lee. So David, what did Cameron manage to get out of Donald Tusk?
Well, he's got most of each of the things he was looking for. He hasn't got all of any of them. He obviously had four main demands, four main areas. One of them was on sovereignty and an end to the idea of the ever closer union within the EU. He's got a pretty clear explanation of that ever closer union doesn't necessarily mean a move towards political union, so that's fine. He had demands on competitiveness and the EU's future within the single market, and they're pretty vague, but they're mostly what he was looking for. He had the biggest issue for him was the idea of sovereignty and migration. He initially went in wishing to be able to stop citizens of other EU states coming to the UK and claiming in-work benefits like tax top-up credits for a period of 4 years. Now, he hasn't got that 4 years. He's got a graduated break in times of particularly strong migration, which is being portrayed as being nothing, but you know, it's actually quite considerable, given that it does mean that all EU citizens aren't going to be equal before the law in the UK, which was a big sticking point for a lot of people. Now, the last demand that Cameron had was about the relationship between the Eurozone countries and the non-Eurozone countries. And while that wasn't as politically sensitive, it was pretty difficult for the EU to agree to. They have come out with some very complex, very bureaucratic, very loyally EU procedure to ensure that if non-Eurozone countries have an objection to what the Eurozone's doing, then they can raise a grievance issue, and there's a whole procedure will come through that. So it's not the straightforward withdrawal that Cameron would want, but it's something.
So supposing it passes the test of the European Council summit meeting, Cameron has to convince his own Conservative Party and the British public that he's got a good deal. How likely is that?
I don't really think it's very likely at all, but I don't really think that's going to matter that much. This exercise about the four tests, the 4 points, was always really a thing for the benefit of the internal workings of the Conservative Party, just so that Cameron could go to Europe and show that he came back with something. He's come back with something, but the people he would have to convince, most of them, were never going to be satisfied by anything he could ever demand, let alone anything that he could get in a negotiated process. So, he was never really going to be able to convince the committed Eurosceptics in his party. He'll get a few waverers in the middle, and significantly it appears that he has won over Theresa May, the Home Secretary, who was thought to be leaning towards the outcome. She's now remaining loyal to Cameron. So that's one thing he's got, certainly.
And is there any evidence that Cameron's tweaking of the terms of membership of the EU will have much influence on the way the wider British public actually ends up voting?
I don't think there's very much at all. I don't think that these four tests were really going to be a big factor in anybody's decision, really. I think the immigration issue is much bigger than just the element that was focused on in these negotiations. So I think the out campaign will focus on immigration, and we're always going to whatever Cameron came back from Europe with this time. I think most people's minds are already made up and have been for some time. And I think the number of people who will be changeable on the basis of these four slightly technical points of European law, I think, are pretty minimal.
So we're likely to have a referendum in June. June 23rd is the preferred date.
Yeah.
How would you characterise the current lie of the land for businesses that have a stake in continuing British membership of the EU?
We're still predicting that the electorate will vote narrowly to stay in. The last significant referendum in the UK was on Scottish independence back in September 2014. And the result there was about 55-45 in favour of the status quo. Now, that's pretty much what we think is going to happen here. But I do think that there is potential for a shock to develop in the intervening period between now and voting day. So a deterioration in the migrant crisis or another deterioration in the Eurozone situation, for example. They could easily push the Leave campaign into a bit of a stronger position. So while we do think there will be a vote to remain, it's not at all beyond the realms of possibility that Leave could sneak ahead in the last few weeks.
Okay, David Lee, thanks very much. That's all for this Control Risks podcast. Thanks very much for listening.